Ramsey TV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another week of MZTV. I am Martin Zender, your host, broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, making sense for a living 5 days a week. I also make sense on the weekend. You just don't generally know about it. If you haven't seen Sunday's video produced by Rodney Paris, where he takes old cassette tapes of mine and digitizes them, puts them to gorgeous video, the link is down here. Go to the link and you will hear a broadcast I did on the radio in Florida in, I think it was 1995, but it could have been 1996. WMEL, Melbourne, Florida. A Christian radio station, if you can believe that. But they allowed, I guess. Well, the radio time was purchased. I'm pretty sure about that. They broadcast teachings concerning the glory of God, the salvation of all, the effective of Jesus Christ's cross. I participated in that. I didn't even remember it. Rodney sent me the video. I had sent him the tapes from my storage unit in Canton, Ohio. Rodney said, well, here's the latest. I said, WMEL. And then I watched it. I said, oh, yeah, this is a great message to introduce someone to the salvation of all, to universal reconciliation, that God will reconcile all things to himself through the blood of the cross. By the way, I didn't make that up. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Read about it. But anyway, there's the video down there. Check it out. But today, I'm going to talk about a very spiritual topic. Not that that one's not spiritual. It is. But this one has great significance in that the proper understanding of it will confirm a foundational truth of Paul's gospel, which is the death of Christ for our sins. But a misunderstanding of it will send you on a theological dark hole from which you may not recover in this eon. That spiritual topic today involves the comma. That's right. That common form of punctuation that begs you to take a rest in between statements. The period says, stop here. The comma says, take a breath. Meditate upon what was just said. And then continue along with the same thought. Now, comma placement is incredibly important. But before I tell you that, I will have to tell you that in the scriptures, there was no punctuation in the original languages. In Greek, it's just a series of letters. There are no commas, no periods, no exclamation points, not even any emojis, no smiley faces, nothing like that. Might have been helpful if there were. And so it is up to the interpreter to put the pause in or the stop in where it seems prudent and expedient. Now, having said that, now comma placement is important. For instance, consider this sentence. When do we eat, Grandma? When do we eat, comma, Grandma? Everyone understands what this means by the place of the comma. But now, what if we were to remove that comma? Oh, the sentence takes on a whole new meaning, a disturbing meaning. When do we eat Grandma? When do we eat Grandma? That's not right. It's not good. It's not a good question at all. So you can see, comma placement is important. Now, I'm going to go to a passage in Scripture, Matthew 23, 43, where the place where you take a rest in between thoughts is vitally important. And the proper use of this pause will confirm a vital spiritual truth. This is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. We know that there were two thieves. One of them reviled our Lord during the crucifixion. Our Lord is on the cross having a conversation, strangely enough, with two malefactors, one on his left, one on his right. The one reviled Jesus Christ. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. That's verse 39 of Matthew 23. Not a good thing to say. He's going to regret that someday. Yet the other one, rebuking him, said, yet you are not fearing God, seeing that you are in the same judgment. And indeed, we justly, for we are getting back the deserts of what we commit. Yet this one commits nothing amiss. Verse 42, and he said to Jesus, the thief on the right, be reminded of me, Lord, whenever you may be coming into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily, to you am I saying today, with me shall you be in paradise. Now, many people, not being careful, you'll notice already where I put the pause, but many people, not being careful, use this verse to, quote, prove, unquote, that Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross, that that day, the day of his, quote, death, unquote, he didn't really die. He went immediately to paradise, and he took that thief with him. Today you shall be with me in paradise. That's how they read it. Okay, this is how the majority of people read this. And Jesus said to him, verily, to you am I saying, today with me shall you be in paradise. If that's the way this is supposed to read, then, yep, the death of Christ is bogus. That Christ was dead in the tomb for 3 days is bogus. And Jesus Christ, along with this malefactor, were gallivanting in the park of God, having a great time. But wasn't Jesus supposed to be dead? Ah, no, 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 he's not really dead. And that misconception destroys a founding stone of Paul's gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Christ died for our sins. Christ didn't go to paradise with a repentant thief for our sins. He died for our sins. So I'm going to read this verse two different ways. The wrong way and then the right way. Here's the wrong way to read it. The wrong way. Verily, to you am I saying, today with me shall you be in paradise. Same words, same exact words. The pause is different. Here's the right way to say it. And Jesus said to him, verily, to you am I saying today, with me shall you be in paradise. And the thief might have said, when? When is this going to happen? Sounds good. When? Because when you put the pause in the right place, the question is when? I say to you today. And Jesus spoke that way. I'm saying to you today. He spoke that way. Not the first time. I am saying to you today. It's a dramatic way of speaking, of emphasizing. And if you read this or understand it the other way, then again, it undoes the scriptural truth about what death is. The dead do not know anything. And it obliterates a founding belief, a founding truth of our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God as communicated to us through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, you notice that Jesus didn't answer the man's question as the man probably wanted him to. Be reminded of me, Lord, whenever you may be coming into your kingdom. Jesus didn't say, yes, I will, or yep, or sure will. The reason is, this thief is not going to be around when Jesus Christ comes into his kingdom. Jesus Christ comes into his kingdom at the end of this eon. He comes into his kingdom to inaugurate the 1,000 years of peace on the earth. That thief on the cross is not going to be there. He is going to be dead, likely, for 1,000 years and not rise until the great white throne. Now, I suppose it's possible that if you're going to say that this man became a believer, that maybe he will be raised in the resurrection of the righteous at the end of this eon. Maybe he will. But because of the word paradise, I think that his reward will be after the 1,000 years, after the great white throne judgment. And this thief will be finally gallivanting with the Lord in the paradise. Paradise in the Greek means park. It's a place of, it's an Elysian field. It's a place of wonderment, beauty, peace, gorgeousness, fair weather, 100% chance of sunshine, 0% chance of rain. No partly cloudy in paradise. It's going to be beautiful. That thief will be there. But when? When? Certainly not that day. I believe that thief will be judged at the great white throne. Individuals are judged there in accord with their acts, not in accord with their faith. And that thief will be then transferred onto the new earth, because it's at that juncture of the Aeonian times where heaven and earth no longer exist. The present heaven and earth no longer exist. There becomes a new heavens and a new earth. The new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. And I believe that's where the paradise is. That's where this thief will be. And he will look at Jesus in that park and say, "You weren't lying." Jesus said, "Nope. Had to do the death thing first." Thief says, "I understand. I understand. I'm not complaining." Now, that other thief will also be at the great white throne judgment. And he might not have, no, he won't have such a favorable judgment, because his works were not good. So if anyone's name is not written in the book of life, they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. So that thief, the reviling one, will be dead again. So he will not be in the paradise of God. But when death is abolished, praise God, praise Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy is being abolished, death, then that thief also will come into glory. But later, at the consummation of the eons, at which time death is abolished, there will be no such thing as a second death. There will be only life, because the goal of God, as stated beautifully by our apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:28, is that God will become all in all.